that Chasidus underwent a change in the early 1800s, and it's a different kind of Chasidus. So when I speak about Chasidus today, I'm not speaking of it as a continuing movement. Of course, you can discuss Chasidus today also, which we will when we get to more recent times. But I'm looking at it as it was back then in its first three generations, which is roughly from the the end of the first half of the 1700s into the beginning of the 1800s. And the key names in the first generation are Yisroel Baal Shem Tov, and spellings in some of these towns are impossible. But I'll spell it as close as I can. All right. Yisroel Baal Shem Tov had many Talmidim. But they are generally considered to be have been two major ones. Dov Ver of Mezrich, who is known as the Magid of Mezrich, or sometimes just the Magid, and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, named after his major sefer, by Rav Yaakov Yosef of Palno. And one way of looking at them, and Chassidus looks at them this way, is that they represent the Torah Shebiktav and the Torah Shebaalpeh of Chassidus. The Magid being the Torah Shebaalpeh, and the Toldos being the Torah Shebiktav. What do we know about the Baal Shem Tov? About some time ago, we would have said very little. However, it's interesting that historians, both secular and religious, have been able to discover relatively recently some more material letters and things addressed to him and written by him that we know lately a little bit more than we used to think we knew. But still, a lot of his life is shrouded, not so much in mystery, but in legend. Because, like so many, Gedolei Yisroel and Lahavdil, so many other great charismatic people, legends grow up about them, and it's hard to sometimes sort out legend from fact. So what we do know is that he doesn't seem to have been a student or a Talmud of any great Gadol Yisroel in the usual sense, as far as we can tell. And he seems to have lived much of his life as a very simple person, supporting himself as, in Yiddish the term is a belfer, and what B-E-L-F-E-R, I guess, is the closest you can come to it. And it's kind of like an assistant teacher or a teacher's aide. He would go around getting the kids, rounding up the kids to bring them to cheder, taking them home, and not so much teaching, as just helping out with the cheder. And we know early in his life that he was very successful at this. His children loved him. He was able to tell them stories and sing for them and keep them motivated, which is no small accomplishment right there. And we also know that he tried the best he could to keep himself unknown, hidden, from public view. We also know that he had a brother-in-law. And his brother-in-law, his name was Gershom Mekitov, usually spelled in English K-I-T-E-V. And that he was his brother-in-law because the Baal Shem Tov married Rav Gershom of Kitov's wife, sister. Sorry. Rav Gershom of Kitov's sister. And that originally Rav Gershom Kitova resisted the Shidduch, opposed the Shidduch, because he felt that the sister served someone more special than who he thought Yisroel Baal Shem Tov was. Of course, then he wasn't known as Yisroel Baal Shem Tov. Rav Gershom Kitova then came to realize the Baal Shem Tov's greatness in just traditional Torah learning and in other ways, and then became a very close follower of the Baal Shem Tov. Gershom Kitova, unlike the Baal Shem Tov, is a known historical person. He corresponded with the Gedol Yisrael of his time. He's mentioned a couple of times in the Nod of Yehuda's Tshuvas. So he's a real person, and obviously a person of... Nod of Yehuda didn't write, can correspond with just anybody who asked him questions. And Gershon Kitava moved to Eretz Yisrael and lived in Eretz Yisrael for a time. And we have in existence letters that he wrote to the Baal Shem Tov. And from the letters, you realize the letters are not just, you know, hey, brother-in-law, how you doing, type letters. The letters with Divrei Torah, with Divrei Kabbalah. And you can see that from those letters that he really took the Baal Shem Tov very seriously and respected him. Of course, later in his life, after his initial opposition. And he becomes the model, by the way, of many, many people who initially in their lives were opponents of Hasidism and opponents of the Baal Shem Tov, and then changed their way of thinking. And usually these were people who were Talmidei Chachamim of great renown, Rabbonim, of those times, whose initial reaction to Hasidus was negative, and then changed their minds to become Hasidim in their own right, and usually leaders of Hasidim in their own right. One of the most famous ones of them is the Toldos himself. The Toldos was a Rav in White Russia, Ukraine, various communities, and was a big misnaget originally to Hasidus, and then turned and became one of the primary advocates of Hasidus. And the list of such people, I mean, you can go on and on. The Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditcheva, who was already a third generation, is another example of someone who was a major Lamdan and Rav, and then and the Misnaget of Hasidus, and then changed his approach later on. And as we go along, we may mention some others, but Gershon Kitava becomes like a model, such a person. Originally a Misnaget, an opponent, and then someone who shifts. Gershon Kitava raises, knowing about him, raises another interesting connection between someone who is less known historically, but whom you've all heard of, and that is the Or HaChaim. That Nun slash is the way you would usually indicate Ibn, I-B-N. Many Sephardim have names like Arabs, that their second name is Ibn Attar. And Rav Chaim, the author of the Or HaChaim's father's name wasn't Attar, but he came from the family. His ancestor's name was Attar. The Or HaChaim plays, who of course had nothing directly to do with Hasidus. Chaim Ibn Attar was a Sephardi who was born and for his works in North Africa, and then came to Eretz Yisrael near the end of his life. He's buried in Har HaZeisim. Wrote a work on Chumash, the Or HaChaim, which is a work that's revered by Hasidim, who only refer to it as Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Always use the term HaKadosh after it. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was a very major influence on Hasidim. Baal Shem Tov felt, so the story goes, that if he and the Or HaChaim could have met and gotten together, the two of them could have brought Mashiach. That's one of the Hasidic legends, beliefs. But what's true historically, for sure, is that the Or HaChaim's work had a very powerful influence on Hasidim. So much so that among the Sforim that Hasidim emphasized, the Or HaChaim is probably one of the major ones, certainly one of the major ones that's not written by a Hasidic Rebbe himself. Like I said, Balatanya. The reason being because the Or HaChaim, the Perush on Chumash, brings into an understanding of Chumash concepts of Kabbalah in a way that anybody can understand them. Now, there are certain famous passages in the Or HaChaim that nobody can understand, very few people. But by and large, anybody who has a decent understanding of any Mefarash and Chumash can work its way through an Or HaChaim HaKadosh and understand what he's saying, even though a lot of what he's saying is Kabbalah. Once again, you find, as I stressed, the first century we discuss of these 500 years, the 1500s, Kabbalah began to make more and more of an impact on Yahadus in general, but sometimes it did so directly by people who taught Kabbalah, and sometimes indirectly. Already you mentioned the Maharal and the Ramchal as indirect transmitters of excuse me, the teachings of Kabbalah. They are Chaim HaKadosh does it also. And one of the big innovations, you might say, that Chassidus brought with it, one of the reasons for its success, is its ability to take concepts of Kabbalah and make them understood by the mass population. And this is one of the first contributions of Chassidus. To take certain teachings of Kabbalah and make them popular, make them things that everybody can deal with, live with, sometimes changing the language. And so the Or Chaim HaKadosh was a sefer that they could use directly for what they were trying to accomplish. And Gershon Kiddeva, the story is that he, one of the reasons he went to Eretz Yisrael was to try to meet the Or Chaim HaKadosh himself. Whether he did or whether he didn't is an ongoing puzzle. Some of the dates don't match. The Or Chaim died before Gershon Kiddeva seems to have gotten to Eretz Yisrael, and yet the legend persists that they did meet. I don't know what the historical truth of that is, but there is a connection there nonetheless. Whether they historically met or not, their spirits met in some way. And that seems to have been one of the first connections of the Or Chaim teachings to Chassidus. What the Baal Shem Tov was able to do, once he became Nisgala, in Chassidus also, there's a concept also borrowed from Kabbalah, that great tzaddikim begin their lives in a period of not being known to the world. And then they reach a point in their lives when they become known, revealed, nisgala. And the Baal Shem Tov reached a point in his life when he was nisgala. When he was nisgala, he gathered around him, or they're gathered around him. I don't think he went out and recruited these people, but they gathered around him a chavraya, an entourage, a whole group of dozens and dozens of extremely interesting future leaders of Am Yisrael who just drank up his teachings. And what he was able to do is read